Hi, welcome to the nutrition lecture. My name is Tom Seaborn. All right, is it genetics? Is that why your client is overweight? Well, if both parents were overweight, there's an 80% chance that she'll be overweight. If one parent was overweight, there's a 35% chance that she'll be overweight. And if neither parent was overweight, there's only a 10% chance that she'll be overweight. Well, does that mean is it genetics or is that environment? Well, you know, we don't have conclusive proof. But there are certain times when you grow fat cells. In the third trimester in the womb, that's when you grow fat cells, so you can't do anything about that. In the first year of life, that's again where your client grows fat cells, and so the parents have an obligation to feed the child properly. And some recent research is saying, don't feed the child, the infant, sweets all the time, because then they'll start growing an affinity for sweets and always wanting sweets. The third time is during puberty. So, you know, during that age 13 or so, you actually grow fat cells. And finally, during explosive overeating. And that just means if your client binges and the fat cells are already overfilled, then there's some research suggesting that there's proliferation of fat cells called hyperplasia. So a good idea is to teach your client to eat for performance. And, you know, eating for satiety, meaning eating till they're full, or eating for pleasure, that's one thing. But when they can change into eating for performance, their physical performance, then things can really begin to change. When they start to eat for performance, there's what we call the four R's. Number one, replenish glycogen. Glycogen is the storage form of sugar in the muscle. So that means from carbohydrates. So the client should be eating nutrient-dense carbohydrates instead of calorically dense carbohydrates. Then there's restore electrolytes. And this could be from sports drinks or vegetables and fruits. And then there's reduce cellular damage. And some research shows that when your client, after a vigorous workout, eats carbohydrates to protein in a 4-to-1 ratio, then there's actually less cellular damage. And they should try to eat that meal as soon after the workout as possible. And then finally, rebuild muscle. And that's where protein comes into effect. So after that workout, trying to get a little bit of protein with that carb. So something like banana and peanut butter, or a cottage cheese and fruit, or sometimes even a protein drink if no other food is available. So teach your client to stabilize her blood sugar by eating small meals throughout the day. And, you know, we've talked about this for years. By eating a breakfast snack, lunch snack, and dinner, then you're able to keep blood sugar stable, the cravings diminish, and she's more likely to be able to stay on a good eating program. So that means frequent meals instead of one or two large meals. And then finding balance in those meals so that in that specific snack or meal, there's carbs, protein, and essential fat. So let's talk about carbohydrates. There's the nutrient-dense carbohydrates, and that's what we want your client to consume. And these include, on the slide it says fruits and veggies, but I prefer it to say veggies and fruits. And when I have a question mark beside whole grain, because many of your clients may find that eating whole grains has a deleterious effect on their eating program, that some folks find that when they eat the whole grain foods like the cereals and the breads, that they're more likely to overeat because their appetite doesn't seem to be quenched. So most all vegetables are fine, some fruits. And again, some fruits have higher sugar levels than others, but berries, all the berries are absolutely fine. And again, with the whole grains, it just depends on your client. Some folks have no problem with them, and others find that causes them to binge. Now, the calorically dense carbohydrates, which include pasta, breads, and boxed cereals, these are the ones we want to kind of limit for your client who's trying to lose body fat. So if your client finds that she's craving a lot, a lot of times that's due to just the fact that she's not eating enough throughout the day. There's an old wise saying that you should eat breakfast like a king, lunch like a prince and dinner like a pauper. And that just means try to get most of your calories in throughout the day instead of in the evening. And what we found that if you eat protein with your meals, that improves satiety. That means protein makes you feel less hungry during the subsequent hours of the day. So the lean proteins include, you know, lean red meat, chicken, fish, non-fat dairy. And again, your vegans and vegetarians can find protein in mixing the rice and beans and all kinds of other ways that they can find protein in their diet. Some include soy. Well, how much protein does your client really need? Well, Peter Lemon, probably one of the foremost researchers in protein metabolism, says that a hardworking athlete needs about 0.77 grams of protein per pound of body weight. And especially if she's training hard to make sure she gets the protein. And, you know, I don't like to recommend meal replacements, bars and powders. I always believe in food first, but sometimes when food isn't available, that second choice is going to be the only option. So these could include the shakes, bars, goos, you know, anything to try to get some protein. And what about fat? You know, we've heard the old saying, if you eat fat, you wear it. And it's not true. You know, fat provides satiety. Even though it's 9 calories per gram, it's an essential part of our diet. And it's what's called a macronutrient. So we want to get the omega-3 fats, as much of that as possible, because most of us eat too many omega-6, and we want to eat a balance of omega-3 and omega-6. So unsaturated fat is fine. Saturated fat, the jury's still out. For men, some recent research is showing that if they don't get any saturated fat in their diet, or very little, that their testosterone levels decrease. And all of us, all of your clients and us, should avoid and limit, in fact, probably try to not eat trans fat at all. These are the hydrogenated oils, and these are the foods that last for a lifetime on your shelf. And a wise sage says, if it lasts on your shelf, then it's that shelf life will diminish our life. So we want to make sure to stay away from the trans fat. Well, is fat-free a good thing? Not necessarily, because when manufacturers who develop processed foods, they have to replace the fat with something, and a lot of times they replace it with sugar and salt. So beware of the, quote, fat-free labels. And when we talk about insulin insensitivity, what is that? What that is some folks who have type 2 diabetes, when they eat something with carbohydrates, then insulin in our pancreas is produced, and that's supposed to be like the key that opens the cell so that the carbohydrate or the food, the energy, can get into the muscle or the fat cell. Well, with type 2 diabetes and insulin insensitivity, the insulin key isn't working properly. And that, again, is why type 2 diabetes is just rampant in America. So insulin's not the enemy, and we need to just monitor our client's diet to make sure that if her blood sugar levels are a little bit high, and by that I mean if her fasting blood sugar levels are nearing 100 milliliters per deciliter, then that means that she's pre-diabetic, and she should really watch her intake of carbohydrates, especially the starchy carbs, and like we were talking, the calorically dense carbs like the breads, pasta, and the cereals, and try to stick with the nutrient-dense carbs. So there's different types of carbs. There's slow-release carbohydrates, and these are the foods that have fiber, oatmeal, you know, the some fruits, like I mentioned, the berries, and all of your veggies. So the veggies, again, they have all kinds of fiber, so that's great for us. And what we found with the low-carb diets, the problem is that even though a person stops or slows down their eating carbs, what happens is that you want to eat the nutrient-dense carbs when you go on the low-carb diet, and that means the veggies and some fruits, and stay away from the calorically dense. Because the low carb diets, what will happen immediately is your client will lose water, so they stand on the scale and she says, wow, this is really working. And the bad news is she may be losing some muscle too. Because when you start a low carb diet, then your body needs energy and your body will go to your muscle for energy, and that's called gluconeogenesis. And then also, if there's not enough carbs, then your body will burn fat, and if it does so in a way, in the absence of carbs, it's called ketosis, which is not a good thing. It's not healthy to be in ketosis for long periods. And that's the phrase, does fat burn in a carbohydrate flame? And there's still a lot of controversy about that, where the Atkins people say we don't need carbohydrates, but most dietitians suggest to at least get nutrient-dense carbs in your diet. So the key to doing things properly is to schedule your client's meals in advance. So she should know the day before everything she's going to eat the next day. And these meals should have a balance of protein, carbs, and essential fats, and those are called macronutrients. In order for this program to work, she has to pre-prepare her foods in advance. And some folks like to do that, for example, on a Sunday, so that for the rest of the week, she has all the foods that she needs, and she puts them in some type of plastic container. Well, we hear controversy all the time. What's better to lose body fat, weight training or cardio? Well, weight training is a good idea for sure, because the more muscle that your client has, the more calories your body burns even at rest. But cardio is a great idea too. And the controversy here is, well, should you do steady state or interval training? Well, in my opinion, if she's trying to lose body fat, she should do both. Steady state, 3 times a week, interval training, 2 days a week. And the interval training should be spaced out as far as possible, such as a Monday and Thursday, and then steady state on the other days. The good news about interval training is that since it's relatively high intensity, it helps preserve muscle. Whereas long, slow endurance type training, if her caloric intake is not enough to support her training, then the body will go to muscle for energy. Now, the same thing will happen with interval training, but the good news is, think of interval training like sprinting, either outdoors running or indoors on a treadmill, or sprinting on a bike, where your type 2 fast twitch fibers are being used. And so that will help to preserve muscle. Whereas the long, slow distance for over an hour is a good way to lose muscle. And a great way to think about that is look at a marathoner and look at a sprinter. Look at the difference in their body shapes. The marathoner is going to be thin and have very little muscle on their body. And some marathoners, and you see them when you watch the New York Marathon on TV, they may actually be overweight. But a sprinter's body, especially a world-class sprinter, they look like bodybuilders, because it's high intensity, it's speed, it's power, it's type 2B fibers. So again, when in doubt, try to have your client veer more toward the high-intensity interval training for her program if she's trying to keep muscle and lose body fat. And the good news about interval training is that you can get better workout in a shorter period of time just because you're working harder. So in answer, should you do aerobics or weights? Do them both, and it's a question of finding the time, which that's what we all have to do, is find time to work out, and we all can. So have your client schedule her meals in advance, know what she's going to have the next day for every meal, and don't obsess. It says on the slide, plan on making weight weeks in advance. That doesn't mean just for wrestlers or MMA guys. This means people trying to get into a certain dress. Don't start training or eating program, a week before, weeks and months in advance, in order to make progress correctly. So again, eat your calories throughout the day, and that means don't do what a lot of folks do, and I see this all the time, where They skip breakfast, they have a salad for lunch, and then they get home, and all they can do is eat, because they're making up. It's called backloading, where they haven't eaten anything through the day and their body's craving food. So we want to fuel your client's muscles and starve her fat cells, and that's by eating the small meals through the day. And remind her it's progress, not perfection. All the time, I see people where they'll start an exercise program and they eat correctly for maybe a couple weeks, and then something sabotages their program. Like, let's say, you know, she eats too much on her, evening meal because she was watching TV at the same time and didn't realize how many calories she got. So she says to herself, well, I'm just going to stop eating correctly for the next few days and I'll start again on Monday. Well, that's kind of like when you get a flat tire, getting out of your car and slashing the other three tires. Because, wow, instead just say, oh, okay, I'll just start eating right the next day. And the body will adapt. So again, progress, not perfection. And supplementation, well, you know, there's so much hype and it's a $1 billion industry. So be careful about recommending any supplements to your client. In fact, you could get in trouble for that. The only supplement that's been proven in recent years to actually work is creatine. Creatine's been found to actually increase your client's ability to get a few extra reps. And also, it voluminizes the muscle cell by what's called sarcoplasmic hypertrophy. So it makes the muscle actually appear larger because more water is stored in the muscle. When it comes to fat burning, arginine, and all the different vitamins out there, be careful about recommending these to your clients and stick with real food. Well, thanks for joining us, and we will talk with you in our next lecture.